Welcome to the Association Strong podcast, where we offer insight from both a seasoned association exec and an entrepreneur. I'm Dave Will.
And I'm Tom Morrison. Listen in as we discuss and debate hot topics in the association community. Don't forget to subscribe and share us with your friends.
Tommy Bahami.
Man, Dave, No, Tom. Yeah.
No,
I don't think I've ever been doing it.
Okay. I want to introduce him.
Davey, what? I'm not going to introduce him. I'm just like, I can't believe that I'm on the same Zoom meeting with podcast with two of my favorite friends out of the world.
Tom.
I mean, we've been skiing together. We've been at bars together. We've been dancing together. We've been everywhere together in a bunch of different places. So I'm excited to be here today. And I'll let you introduce this guy because he is.
Tom, what is with you? You're being a little too nice today. You're a little bit, you've got a little bit of lover in you. I thought we were going to get to fight over who gets introduced him, and now you're giving. No, you, Tom, you do it. You
introduce. Rob Burns.
We got the new BettyBot CEO, and I say new because it's a completely new entity in our space, the association space, and the CEO of BettyBot, Robert Burns. The very own Robert, in fact, the Aussie who just moved to the DC area to focus on BettyBot, Robert Burns, our friend, our buddy. God, we've been through so much together, and it's so fun to have such a close friend on this podcast with us, Tom. Welcome.
So many memories are flashing through my mind right now, just trees near miss, you know, just all kinds.
So you know what Rob said. So Rob, this is the thing. You really don't get to talk. You're the guest in the podcast.
Oh,
you get to
watch. I've been friends with you guys long enough to know what's going on here.
So. You get to hang out while Tom and I talk. Rob said before we hit record, he's like, I think the last time the three of us were together was on a ski lift.
Yeah.
And that was probably, it wasn't as far back as Great Ideas. I don't know when it was, but.
Yeah, it was Great Ideas in like 2012.
That can't be the last time the three of us were together.
2012 or 13, because we stopped going skiing and on our trips in 2016, because we went in 2017 to Montego Bay for a tropical trip. So 2016 was the last one.
So Tom, you know who doesn't care about this?
Who?
Everyone. All two or three of our listeners don't care about this at all.
That's not true. Human interest stories, Dave. They want to hear how we live just like they do. We live real lives with real care, with real hurts, with real pains, with real stuff, and real friends. So I think they are interested in stuff like that. That's why the Football League has got, when they started telling the backstories of football players, when women didn't care about football, now they care because they understand the backstory. So let me tell you one little quick backstory, how Rob and I met. So this is the power of Twitter when it first came out. I'm learning how to tweet. I'm tweeting stuff. I'm following. I was on Kiki's association chat.
What's Twitter?
X.
Oh, okay.
So
you're aging yourself a little, Tom.
We're engaging on association chat at 2 o'clock on Wednesdays or Tuesdays, every Tuesday. And this guy named Rob Burns and I connect. And so it was 2009 at ASAE's conference. And we're in the opening night reception. And I'm literally walking in and walking a straight line. And all of a sudden I stop. And this guy over to my right looks and he goes, Tom Morrison. And the only thing I knew was his picture. And I look, I'm like, Rob Burns. And from that moment on, we've been great friends from 2009 to today, only because Twitter brought an Aussie and an American together. And we happened to cross paths among 6,000 people at an ASA meeting. What chance does that happen? It's crazy.
It seems to happen a lot. Rob, welcome to the podcast, man. This is your turn to talk.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. Yeah, it's been quite the journey with both of you. And I was a bit the same, Tom, on having these flashbacks to, you know, being in the back of a limousine, leaving a Hollywood venue. And
yes,
I think we registered tmoney.com live on GoDaddy in the back of the limo that night. And I've been calling you T-Money ever since. But I agree. I think in the association world, it's how these relationships and these things are formed that it does create a bit of interest. They don't probably need to know everything that Dave, Will and I have got up to over the years, but I'm so pleased that one of my first podcasts is with you guys.
Now let's just clear the air for a second, because my understanding is I asked you to join this podcast, you know, several weeks ago, and apparently we just took our time because in between
word got out, Dave. Word got out.
And you've been on a whole bunch of podcasts. And now you're coming here to, I don't know. Well, you know, we can get past that. Tom, I met Allegra Tasaki with NEBL. I met her the same way you met Rob. So I knew her from Collaborate, where I'd make comments and collaborate, and I'd see her face and she'd comment. And then we're at either annual or MMCC. I can't remember which one it was. And I saw her walk by. I was like, Allegra? Is that you?
Yeah.
The same thing happened. And it's so funny.
It's a great.
We embraced. We hugged right there because like of all the exchange we had in Collaborate. It's so fun to go from online to in person.
For sure.
All right.
And everybody thought during COVID, and everybody thought at COVID that virtual was going to be the thing. And you never can appreciate that till you meet someone in person and feel the energy behind that place. And so it is awesome to turn that virtual experience into a live experience.
So for the very few people that don't know Rob, Rob has worked for associations down under, and he's worked for Higher Logic. He left the industry for a short period of time and worked for, who did you work for, Rob?
Intuit, QuickBooks.
Intuit, that's right. And and then most recently, I think, when did you start with BettyBot?
October 23. Yeah.
It's, and we're recording this. I don't normally like to timestamp podcasts because they're evergreen, but I think it's relevant here. You're in month 4 or something like that. So we're recording this February of 2024 right now. And you're in month 4 of pushing BettyBot out the door. So why don't you start there for people that have not heard of BettyBot? Why don't you tell us what BettyBot is?
So BettyBot, in the, I guess, in the era of large language models and generative AI, and she is a tool that has been built specifically for associations. So think of it like this. It's like having a super librarian employed within the organization. One thing that's common to all associations is we sit on these huge repositories of knowledge. In some cases, as I'm learning here in the US, it's like a century's worth of industry intelligence. And for the most part, it's locked away. You know, it's in file systems or it's in recordings that are rarely, if ever, accessible to people at the point of knowledge need. And even the most powerful searches and things like that on a website doesn't always surface for you exactly what you need when you need it for the very specific question that you have. AI has changed all of that. Generative AI, natural language processing has changed all of that. And so an organization who trains Betty on all their proprietary content and knowledge and makes her available to members behind their member login and says, you don't need to know what it is that you're looking for. I will help you do that. So if you have a question, you can ask the question, hey, Betty, I am new to the association world and I'm thinking about, you know, becoming a membership director. Where do I start? Something as generic as that, she will use all the content that she's been trained on. And in some cases, I'm saying that's an entire body of knowledge available to a profession and use that to answer the question and engage.
And I think what's cool about BettyBot, to the best of my understanding, is it's got this this wall around it, right? It's a private, essentially a private collection of resources.
That's correct. Yeah, she is protecting the institutional knowledge and the intellectual property of the association. She's not using any of the content to train a model outside of her own firewall. So
does she go outside of this at all to capture information? So there's no like she won't search anything outside of what you put into it.
Correct. Yeah.
And that's a big deal, Dave, because our board, we just looked at this in January, and that was one of the big questions is, one, does ChatGPT learn from BettyBot and does BettyBot learn from ChatGPT? And the answer is no. It's got the wall around it where all that institutional knowledge is inside that square or circle, whichever you want to call it. And it never leaves or goes away, which is powerful. If you're going to like what we're going to use it for, we just came up with this idea this week. We have 70 suppliers that have tons of technical data, information, content that they use to solve problems for their customers. Well, what if BettyBot at MTI had all that information in one central repository that a member could go out and type in and say, I'm having a problem with my probes and my heat treat furnace exceeding the temperatures that it needs. Can you give me some solutions, what might be going on? And it reaches out to the 72 suppliers and sucks in all the information they've got on that and then gives them an answer. I mean, now we're talking real value to the supplier because now they're part of a system that their stuff's being seen and read and understood, and a huge value proposition to our member because they're getting real answers from everyday technical data from top suppliers. So it's really sweet stuff.
Yeah, and I think the other piece that we like to share also is that she's provably true. So one of the challenges, one of the risks around the public GPT models is still that, colloquially it's starting to be termed hallucinating, right? It loses context very, very quickly because the public GPTs are trained on everything that was able to be scraped on the internet a few years ago. When Betty is asked a question, one of the requirements of the model is that she references her source. And so in a couple of different ways in the user interface, whether it's an inline reference, literally a link, or at the bottom, she says, learn more, and here are the five sources that I used in order to curate the response that I just gave you, which does two things. One, it creates a relationship between the knowledge and the user that is verifiable. The veracity of the information is critical, and that's why associations are the ones that are poised to thrive more than any other organization in the world, in my view, based on AI, because we have built these systems to prove and create factual information over 100 years, right? That system is innate in most associations. Now, when Betty references that, she can prove where she got that from. And the source is something that the organization and the profession already trusts, like Tom was just talking about. So being provably true is incredibly important in the era of AI, because hallucinating is such a huge risk in the public GPT world.
So there's something that we've been working on here at PropTool. By the way, something I want to talk about. Tom is actually a client of not only BettyBot, but PropTool as well. Okay. So like MTI is, yeah. So this is kind of an interesting blend. We ought to, I think there's some creativity in there that we should embrace. We should figure out how we can help BettyBot and vice versa for MTI's sake. Having said that, though, one thing that we're doing behind the scenes from a support perspective is we're cataloging every email between our client success reps. So we have three client success reps working with 220 clients. Over the past 3 or 4 years, our clients have sent us questions. Our client success reps have answered. And historically, that data would go into the ether, gone forever, unless you're referencing an email or something. So we're cataloging all that stuff. When I say cataloging, all that means is we're taking all the words from email, we're putting it in some database. I'm not doing that. Cameron's helped me with that. So he puts it into some database and then puts that into some variation of ChatGPT that we're using. And then we're taking data from, so that's email. Oh, then we're taking all of our chorus recordings. So the recordings of our demos, of our kickoff calls, any working sessions we have with our clients. So now we have all of that dialogue that's also being put into this thing. So we can create this immense amount of data to support our clients. So no matter what question they ask, they're going to get the most comprehensive answer. But that's of course a support tool. Is BettyBot at this point looking at things like things like emails or webinars, transcripts, or conference session transcripts?
Yeah. So typically not emails.
That's a little too
The veracity of risky. Information that's contained. Yeah, but anything that is currently text or can be converted to text. So we've had a couple of organizations that are sitting on thousands of hours of video content. Purpose-built video content. And the transcripts of those and the timestamps, for instance, that's ingestible. So Betty can learn all of that. And so if you had that and then you had every newsletter article that's ever been written, And on top of that, you had the journal articles from multiple journals. You put all of that together and Betty's trained on all of that. Then if someone asks a particular question about probes in a heat furnace, for instance, and someone at some point in time mentioned heat furnaces overheating in their webinar for NTI, and it was between minute 3 and minute 342 in a particular video, Betty would not only reference the video, she would reference and be able to surface the clip of that 42-second part that specifically talks about heat furnaces in one of her answers. And so why that's powerful is that it's getting the person who needs help with a heat furnace, like right now, getting them the broadest possible help available. And it's also for the association, it's unlocking these latent assets, these knowledge assets, like a video that might be 2 or 3 years old that maybe would never have been referenced again after it was stopped being marketed, but it still contains valuable content, like that 42 seconds could be the answer to the question about the heat furnace. And all of that is able to be referenced again, unlocked. And then the thing I probably haven't talked a lot about to date, which I think is...
Meaning you haven't talked about this in other podcasts? Is that what you're about?
Maybe. But so it's what is possible with Betty. So when that question and answer comes, a bit like what you were just saying, like you've got questions and answers, right, which is really valuable content, and it's unique content as well. If Betty happens to not be able to answer a question as fully as Tom would like, it gives rise to a knowledge gap, right? It's probably because that knowledge, there isn't content available about that particular thing that she's been trained on. Either she just hasn't been trained on it and it exists somewhere else, which means Tom can fill the gap, or I didn't even know that it was a gap because we didn't even know that someone actually needed that specific site. And so that gap gets surfaced. Betty is then capable of helping the association staff create the knowledge content to fill the gap, train herself on it, and then have it available the next time that question gets asked. So that cycle is incredibly powerful. It happens now. People think of an idea. No, we don't have anything. Let's take it to a committee meeting. Let's put it through the rigorous approach to publishing a policy document or a piece of content. Let's pop it out the other end and let's approve it. And then that becomes knowledge source. It's verifiable. AI just means that we can do that in seconds and in minutes rather than over the courses of months of committee meetings to do it. That's what I'm kind of super excited about. I think that knowledge is being unlocked and being used by present day members to develop new knowledge, which is then going to be available to everybody in perpetuity.
I'm still stuck on the phrase probes in a heat furnace. And I think that would be a great name for the band that we're going to make. So like
if probes in a heat furnace, I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, what do they call you guys? We're probes in a heat furnace. I think it's got I think it sounds good.
So let me follow up Robert on that, because we're actually doing all of that, Dave. We've got 2 years of financial forecasting webcasts that we've got videotaped. It's on our YouTube channel that they're pushing in. We've got 3 years of technical standards committee meetings that tell people what kind of standards they got to come to heat treat aerospace and automotive parts, which is very big. That's being dumped in. They're dumping in 1,343 articles that we've written the last since 2015 into the system. But here's the practical example, and associations need to hear this. The value to my member is I've got an owner who's about to go in with his investment team or with his management team, and he needs to have a quick, down and dirty understanding of what's going on in the forecasting in the next 2 to 3 years. He can go out to our Betty bot, let's call it MTI AI, for lack of another word, but he can go out there and say, can you give me a one-page summary of the financial forecast for the heat treat sales in the next 2 years? And because that information's in there from our webcast, we've already tested, he's going to get a one-page document that gives him a down and dirty outline of what he can give to all of his people in 5 minutes. Put it in, get it, 60 seconds, scan it, print it, and walk in to give everybody a copy, and do that within 10 minutes before the meeting. That's how the practical example of, and I always ask people, Dave, you remember Jay Owen?
Yeah.
Yeah, so he spoke at our
conference. We interviewed him. He's been on our podcast.
Yeah, I know. So he talked at our conference in October about AI, and he said, how would you like to have at your disposal, in your hands, something that knows everything about everything?
And I that's got that. I got my wife.
Yeah.
Nicole knows.
She'd probably say
the same thing about me, but go on. Anyway, but, to your real point.
For associations, think about your members having at their disposal, and even you having access to technology that knows, you can't say knows everything because we don't have everything yet, but that knows almost everything about everything in your association industry that you can access and get an answer like that.
That's power. I just wrote down, this is why I'm not in marketing, because I wrote down the words massive interactive content database. You could have said that in the 90s. And it would have described, but like to me, you dumb it down to something like that. And that's what we're talking about, like this super engaging, just massive one place to go for every piece of content that your organization can offer.
Think about another simple example, Dave and Bob, Robert. So my members want to go to, they're going to come to the conference, and the spouse doesn't know what's going on. She can go ahead and say, what is the dress code for the final night at the spring meeting? Bam. It's
Wait,
right there.
Anybody can tell you that?
Yeah, because we put in there our learning, our page with all the data on there for our 24 spring meeting. So it has the information and can learn that.
As long as it's content that you're publishing anyway, you train Betty on that, and then you create the natural language interface for asking. It's like asking an event a question. You know, you are anthropomorphizing an event, you can ask it any question. And if it's information on the website, she will know about it. She can be trained on it.
So we're putting every link possible, we're putting in there so that that thing can literally be our assistant, an employee for us.
So hypothetically speaking, there's a pirate theme for your next conference, and I need to find a pirate outfit. Could I go to Betty Bot and ask her to find me a pirate outfit that I could buy on Amazon? Because that's going outside of the association content.
That you're going to have to go to ChatGPT.
So like technically speaking, Dave, yes, if the association was wanting Betty to be exposed to the public internet,
yeah,
then sure. But we are unlikely to partner with anyone that's going to want to do that, right? Because then you start commingling the content that is sacrosanct to the association with stuff like pirate costume vendors.
So like if I could, so it's obviously a really cool platform. I mean, you and I have been talking about this for months now, and your transition from Australia, and I mean, I'm a believer, right? So I'm trying to come up with some version of believer for anyway, I'm a Betty believer. Anyway, so sometimes my brain does that. It goes down this little rabbit hole and I can't get it back. Like it can't climb out. So somebody throw me a rope.
We know.
Yeah, okay. A friend of mine used to call that Will World. He's like, he's gone in the world. So I want to challenge Betty Bot, or you, a little bit about Betty Bot right now. Because I think like it's cool that it can answer any question. But it requires people to find it and ask it a question. And so my hunch is that it's dependent on people going to the website to engage with Betty Bot. Is that accurate?
Today, yes.
What about tomorrow? Or in a year?
About 3 weeks? No.
Yeah. What happens in 3 weeks?
There's going to be a version of Betty that's available that we can plug into Team Slack and a community platform so that you can call. I mean, in fact, it actually works today. So there's a organization called Sidecar, and Sidecar have Betty employed on their website for members. It's free to join. Anyone can join. You can talk to Betty when you log in, and she actually, you can launch her from your dashboard. But to your point, you have to log into your dashboard and see it and click Betty, you know, talk to Betty and start the conversation. But in the community itself, if there's a discussion going on and you literally do hashtag, do you call it hashtags in America?
Yeah.
Hashtag Betty, it prompts the Betty bot that's trained on all of Sidecar's knowledge base to join the conversation. And so seeing that working, we're taking that, I guess, to the next stage and say, well, if you're an internal staff or if Tom has a member company that uses Teams or uses Slack internally, and that member company wants the value of their membership MTI to be inside their internal systems, then there is a version of Betty that will come to the market pretty soon. That means you can have Tom's Betty, MTI's Betty bot inside your internal Teams or Slack, and you can call upon that body of knowledge within the context of the conversation that you're having.
That's a question, Robert.
Yeah.
On the community, if you put, how does Betty join the conversation? How often will the Betty respond to a member inquiry or member discussion?
Each time you tag her. So like the example that we have that's working now, for instance, is that if you want her to stay in the conversation, then you would continue to tag the hashtag her and she stays in the conversation. We're still kind of playing around with what the best user experience is for that. Like how often are someone going to want this additional, the addition of Betty in that conversation. So we're still working on that, Tom, but for the most part, it's like, we're having this discussion. Neither of us necessarily know the answer. Rather than go out to MTI's website from the community and do a search, it's like, let's just tag Betty and ask her the question. And she reads the context of the current discussion and then says, oh, so you're interested in probes and heat furnaces again? Where are they playing next? then she'll be able to answer that question. So to your point, Dave, what's important for us now is bringing the power of Betty to where the person has the knowledge need,
yep.
Which could be in a Teams chat, it could be in Slack, it could be in a community discussion. It's going there that's important. And that's
so
I asked
for a reason, though. And earlier on, I said Tom uses both PropFuel and BettyBot now. Yeah. And so I'm already trying to think, how can we help MTI do even more because they utilize both of these tools? And the most obvious answer to me right now is, PropFuel gets in front of people via email and SMS, right? So we're very, very easily, we're a trigger. That's what PropFuel is. PropFuel is a trigger. We ask a question, you listen, you hear something from members, which then based on what we hear, we could feed into BettyBot. And now BettyBot is a part of the engagement, part of that conversation with the member. So PropFuel initiates a conversation between the member and Betty. And to me, that's just like that is a perfect blend of MTI, Betty, and PropFuel.
Now
asks a question, brings Betty into the conversation with one individual member, and the conversation then continues between Betty and the member. I mean, yeah.
Okay. So let me connect that dot for you, because Robert, we use PropFuel in a way that most people do not. Most people are using PropFuel to understand their members' needs and wants and desires down to the individual member. I should be working for Dave.
Yeah, so, that's right, Tom.
So what we do, though, is one of the big value propositions for us, our members are trade groups, they're companies. And owners and key executives are sitting in their offices every day going, I wonder if people still have what drugs people are putting on their, with work shortage being so thin, what drugs are people putting in their drug testing to test people? Because some people are starting to drop marijuana and like you're wondering in your little square space, your office, who's doing that? So we put that question out on PropFuel on Monday, and it hits Monday, Wednesday, and on next Monday, they answer another question that we've given them, and they get to see, if they answer, they get to see the previous week's information. So they see that 60% of companies are dropping marijuana from the drug test. They're like, oh my gosh, I didn't know that. Now I can make different decisions. So there's a question that goes out every single week like that. Well, what'd be cool is if BettyBot could be able to have access to the PropFuel, in our world, the PropFuel questions that we did and the results. And if someone mentions drug testing in a discussion forum and then goes at Betty, Betty Japton and says, well, a survey was done on blank date with MTI members and they found that, and they put the results there.
That's interesting.
You're turning actual great data coming from real members into bona fide valuable content that people can see out of nowhere. And they just referenced it and it came out of nowhere. So that Dave, is where I see it being the big deal for most, for any industry that matter. Because even if you're a realtor, you wake up going, man, it's been kind of slow for me. I wonder what all other realtors, I wonder what their closing rates have been recently.
So, we are right now developing a better reporting system. And a big part of that is essentially AI helping us interpret every campaign that goes out. So when somebody sends, like you, when you send out a campaign asking a question like that, Crop Fuels is going to be soon at a point where it can summarize what happened in that campaign for you. Now, if those summaries could be uploaded into the Betty repository, then now that's something where there'd be a structure to what Betty is seeing. There'd be a title, meaning the topic this is related to, maybe a bunch of search functions or whatever, keywords. And then there'd be the question that was asked, you know, the number of people that were asked, who, what demographic was asked, the segment of people that was asked, and the summary of how they answered. Now we've got something that Betty could use in an answer. That's right. Brilliant. Yeah.
Yes. I'm talking to two guys. Make it happen.
On it.
Done. Yeah. I mean, ultimately, you can export that information out of PropFuel now, and you can import that into the knowledge base of Betty now. Like it's a little data transfer. It's a little file upload. It's possible now. The idea is, of course, is to make it so that it happens.
Yeah.
At a cadence that suits the organization. So,
that's called an API.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's that called?
Let's talk.
But also, Tom, like you want to be sure that, like, if you use the API and it automatically does that, you might be asking questions that you might not want her trained on as well, right? And
right.
So you want to switch it on and off. So you're just going to be mindful of that. APIs are great because they do create the automation, but there's sometimes you can't turn them off for the part that you want to turn off. So
yes.
Those are easily solvable problems. I think the point that you're making, Dave, is that the confluence of these technologies now, the way you think about it, certainly the way my team are thinking about it, is all designed to make this knowledge transfer for associations as simple as possible so that it can create actionable insights, right? To, you know, to Tom's point, the value for him is his company owners are relying on MTI information to make critical business decisions almost on a daily basis. The things that we do for organizations like MTI has to help them be the best at that than anybody else in their industry. So from a vendor perspective, it's easy to think about building the company and building the product and those sorts of things, but it's much more important that we see that the application of the technologies is actually delivering these actionable insights to Tom's members. I love making Tom feel good about the decisions he's making for MTI. I'm as interested, if not more so, in seeing Tom's members seeing their socks roll up and down because of the initiatives MTI is putting in place, which we are collectively, PropFuel, BettyBot, and others, we're behind the scenes making that happen for him.
So, you know, what's interesting to me is... And Tech Tuesdays just talked about AI. Dave Coryell, our buddy Dave, is one of the hosts of Tech Tuesday. And they had a conversation about AI, and, you know, Dave had some comments after it. But one of the things that came out of this is I feel like people are talking about AI like it's a tool you're buying. And I struggle with that, and I feel like I'm in the minority here. I'm curious to hear your opinions. AI to me is a component of an engine, right? So we have a car, a piece of the engine, a critical, really interesting piece of the engine is being replaced by something else, right? And that's the AI. PropFuel is still PropFuel. BettyBot is still a chatbot, but with a different engine in it that allows it to do a lot more stuff, right? Yeah. But BettyBot in and of itself is not AI. BettyBot uses AI to do what it's doing. PropFuel uses AI to do what we're doing, but it's still the technology that you're buying is BettyBot and PropFuel that has AI embedded into it to do what it needs to do. And just about anything with a computer chip is going to have AI baked into it soon. And so I struggle with this idea of talking about AI as it's a separate entity that we're buying. Curious what you guys think about that.
I agree. I think AI is all of a sudden has become this kind of umbrella term for what is ultimately a huge array of technologies that kind of live in the space, right? Language models, natural language processing, machine learning. That's the technology, right? It's not a thing in itself. For the associations market, particularly, you see it being talked about as an entity. I agree. It's not. One of the key things for us as founders with BettyBot has been there is a confluence of a range of technologies. Some are proprietary, some which are, you know, the language models that are publicly available, which gives Betty the power that she has to do the work that she does. And that's what's been super interesting for a lot of people. When we've started talking about why she's being constructed from this variety of technologies the way she has to accelerate the knowledge cycle of associations, that's when we are getting some momentum, not just about the tool itself, because ultimately you can boil it down to it's a JavaScript widget you can put on any web page that you want and make her available. All of the hard work that we've done in the background will make it do these things. Awesome. That's effectively what you're subscribing. You're paying a subscription to have. But I am equally as concerned, I think, about this generic approach to, AI and associations.
I go back to the late 90s where everything was, even the names of companies had .com in it, like pets.com. And I can't think of a single other one right now, but you know what I mean? Like back in the late 90s, early 2000s, everything had .com on it, almost to tell you like, hey, we have an internet presence.
And
now the thought of naming a company something.com is foolish. It's crazy because everybody is on the internet. Everybody utilizes the internet in one way or another. And I think the same is true with AI. Like we brag about AI being a part of this platform or that platform, PropFuel and BettyBot, like, oh, this is an AI driven tool. We have AI blueprints. That the reality is, I hope sooner than later, it's just back to talking about the technology and it's assumed that it's using AI to make it better. Everything should be using AI to make it better.
And the other part of that discussion is the issues, if you like, or the fear, data privacy, security, information security, and that's arisen with AI. There is the associations should, and if they don't, it's got nothing to do with generative AI or AI technologies. They have to have information security policies and procedures anyway. Like, don't give away our proprietary information. Don't put it, it's the same as don't put it into a community forum outside of our association's ownership. You don't leave it on a park bench. You don't leave your laptop on a bus. We have policies for all of this already. Adding specificity around the use of public AI tools, absolutely an important addition, the modern addition now to what an association has to have guardrails for their staff and for their members and for their volunteers. We do prescribe to the responsible use of AI and being open about when an AI tool is being used to create content, create knowledge. And I think that's a fairly simple evolution of the same standards and procedures and policies that we've always had to have about the use of the internet at work, the use of company assets to develop other things, even policies around your own ideas being the property of the company if you thought about them on company time. we've had that stuff before. This isn't any different. And yet, for some reason, it's become this whole, oh my God, we can't do anything unless we have this policy. I'm like, you've got the policy in place. Just make sure it now encompasses the use of public GPTs or other AI tools, whatever they might be. Super important to do that. So lots of discussion about it, which is great. Lots of exploration of the different uses of the tools, some fun, some not so fun. All of it has the potential to add significant value. Again, we are excited about all of this evolution around these tools because for us, it puts associations back at the absolute pointy end of value creation for humans because they live on decades and decades or hundreds of years worth of institutional knowledge that these tools will help unlock for today's users in a way that's never been possible up until the last 3 or 4 months.
I mean, think about that. Think about the institutional knowledge piece where somebody's saying, they're on the website going, I know it's here somewhere. And they spend 8 hours looking through mounds of PDF files and mounds of web pages to find that one thing that they know they saw a week ago, and now they can't see it. Now they can go out to the website and say, hey, tell me a bit more about how probes can make heat treating more effective. Bam. And then they see the resource that was 10 years ago that was still is still true and relevant today pops up in seconds. I mean, that I love the phrase that AI makes so many things possible that were not possible before within seconds.
So, yeah. Rob, talk to me a little bit about, and then we should be respectful of the time here and go into our final question, Tom. But before we do that, we know what BettyBot can do now and in 3 weeks what BettyBot's going to be able to do. What do you think for organizations that subscribe to BettyBot, and I'm not asking for a product pipeline, and I'm not asking for you to like tell us what you're going to do exactly in a year from now, but where do you think, what are some of the possibilities of what BettyBot is capable of in a year or 18 months? I mean, a year or 18 months in the world of BettyBot is the equivalent of a decade in terms of a lot of other companies. So tell me about a year to 18 months in the life of Betty, what's she look like?
I think that's the challenge, right? It's even, with the way that language models are developing now, even 3 to 6 months, it's hard to predict exactly what she's going to be capable of doing then compared to what she's capable of doing today. Some of the big improvements that we're seeing in the way language models are treated and the way we're using language models to build the infrastructure for Betty is around, mathematics and being able to do a lot of the mathematical things that currently language models are not great at. And so that, again, unlocks a whole piece of value there for organizations that are, if you think about actuarial sciences and a lot of the sciences that are based on math, then what she's capable of doing in those contexts will be incredibly powerful. For us, I guess methodologically or philosophically, we just want to be, we want Betty to be where the person has the knowledge need, wherever that may be. They might still be happy to come to a website because that's their behavior. They check in the website or they go into their professional community. They're likely to do it on their phone. If a particular organization is very event and learning heavy, then it's likely to be a mobile experience where they can call on Betty directly from the mobile device. I mean, all of that is possible today, of course. Some of the challenges are around the amount of screen real estate that a mobile app and these things kind of offer in order to give the full response that someone would want in those formats, because it's not always easy to do. So, again, we're just excited at the amount of knowledge she's able to consume in a relatively short space of time, the way she can render that knowledge in response to the knowledge need. And then for us, and it's, to your point, it's not about having to make people come to her all the time. She can be where you need her the most at that point in time. I think that will be incredibly powerful.
But Rob, I think what I'm hearing is basically any place the association is touching a member, Betty can be there to support that exchange, right? All the way down to, and you tell me if I'm off base here, but all the way down to every signature from every staff member, or every email that goes out with a little button that says, got a question for Betty? You know, looking for something, or how can we help you? And that would pop up Betty. You know, that how that happens, I don't really know, but I'm sure there's at every single touch point, if they want it, Betty could be there waiting to help.
Correct. And the important thing about that is the parts of the knowledge needs of members, particularly that is costing associations a lot of money to staff their responses to, can be taken up by Betty. What that does is it frees up the staff to do the real work of working with an association, which is, you know, connecting with the members and building the knowledge base. So, you know, it's not at all about replacing customer service staff or anything like that in an association. It's about saying you no longer have to answer that same email that comes in 42 times a week with basically the same response. Betty will take care of that. What you want to be doing is analyzing the data, connecting with humans, and putting the humanness back into where associations. So it's actually giving us an opportunity to go back to how associations were originally formed, right? Which is people gathering, getting together and sharing ideas. Now you can capture those ideas in recordings and these sorts of things and give them to Betty, and she will protect that knowledge in perpetuity. So you can continue to have the human interactions now because we don't have to do the machine work anymore. And that's mind-blowing to me. It will certainly require a different thinking about what a digital user experience is going to be. You know, we build websites to make sure we support search, because if you can't find it, just do a search. But what search does is gives me a list of 19 different things that I still have to read to work out whether it's going to help me with the answer to the question that I want. Well, you don't do that anymore. You ask an AI, ask a chatbot, ask Betty, and she'll give you the answer. So what do we do instead of that is we focus on the knowledge creation and that knowledge cycle, which we used to do manually, and now we can do using this technology, and it will accelerate at a rate that we've never experienced before in association management. That's pretty cool.
I think that's really cool. In fact, I'm going to save my comments for that, for this last bit. And Rob, if you never listened to this before, the last bit is we ask we'll start with us to give you a minute to breathe and think about it. But the last question is, what's one key takeaway from this conversation today that you was an epiphany for you, or maybe something you want to leave with our listener? And so with that, Tom, you want to get us started?
Yeah, man. The thing that just was my wow moment was to understand that I could have two members six members having a discussion on a particular industry issue, and they come to a standstill, or one of them decides to say, you know what, let's see what the institutional knowledge says, and just tags our BettyBot AI into the conversation, and whammo, we get everything about that topic from all the knowledge that we've ever had in our system about that particular topic. To me, that is like transformative idea for any association to be able to tap into that knowledge base in a discussion forum instantaneously. And I can't wait to see that happen.
Whammo. You know, coming from one of the members coming from the lead singer of Probes in a Heat Furnace, that means something. When you're in front of that mic, Tom, and you yell whammo, man, you'd be the drummer, wouldn't you?
People go crazy.
My point was going to be that we're going to be one of those unique bands in history where the drummer is the lead singer.
Genesis.
That's a club. Genesis.
There you are. Yeah, Phil Collins back there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll be the guy with the keyboard and the mohawk and like the parachute pants. Anyway, so my takeaway on that note, with that visual, my key takeaway, Rob, was actually that very last thing you said, and it struck a chord with me, which is about allowing us to create to focus on what humans do best, right? So I say that all the time about PropFuel. And I believe it's true with any technology. Technology is there not to replace people, but to allow, to take over the things that people don't need to do, that people aren't really good at doing, that repetitive sort of transfer of knowledge and data. And you know, that's stuff that people don't need to do. People can do things much better when they're engaging other people. Empathy is something that's something really good for people to do. And there's a time and a place for people to talk to people, for the staff to talk to their members. Technology is there to free our time up so that we can do more of the people stuff and let the technology do more of the automation, the repetitive stuff. And mm-hmm. I heard you say that about Betty. And I'm telling you, that's, I say that all the time about PropFuel, is our job is to take away your repetitive tasks, the things that make you busy, so that you can, and tell you who it is that needs the attention, who to talk to, when to talk to them, and what to talk to them about. That's your job as a human being, is to engage other people as best you can as another human. And technology can help make that a way more efficient process. So that was my epiphanal moment. That'll be one of our first songs. That should be the name of a record, The Epiphanal Moment.
Epiphanal. I haven't heard that one.
I'm just brainstorming here. I'll put it down on the whiteboard.
Yeah, let's do it.
Epiphanal Moment.
Epiphanal Moment. It's a great album. We can get AI to give us an album cover. For me, the conversation today has been incredibly important because it's reminded me of how important focusing on customer back, having this member, in our world, it's the member back kind of perspective. Tom shared his perspective on where he sees value for his members. You're talking about the listening. It's listening to where the person is. Like, we are so focused on that knowledge need of the individual user. Like, it's, I think all of that has given me some hope that we're kind of on the right path somewhat. But I also think that's something that a lot of other technology vendors should adopt, which is not just about making, you know, Tom as an association CEO's life easier, but it's actually about making his members' life easier, which will always make his life easier as an association CEO. So the fact that we all sort of share this perspective about customer back and working backwards from that point was just really heartening, I think, to hear and to share. And the fact that potentially our technologies can do that together, Dave, is I couldn't be more excited about that. Like, moving to the US, being able to share space with you all is awesome. But if we can actually work together too, then how good is that going to be the next time we're on a ski lift somewhere?
I love your point, though, thinking about the member, right? Like, that's where all of our minds need to be on how can we serve the member better, number one.
Yeah.
Number two, for you and me, how cool is this to have Tom in this call with us? I know I'm in this with him all the time, but I think this is especially cool. This is almost like a client working session where you and I get to talk to Tom and hear his ideas and how everything blends together. Like, this is really
sharing the whole world. So yeah, why not?
This is great. This was really fun. Well, thanks.
You know the key to that, Dave, and it's something that our board struggled with for a short period, but it only took one board meeting in April to mention it and talk about it, and another board in a 6-month Tuve call demo with our AI task force to get it approved in October. Our board moved that fast because associations listening to this need to learn this phrase. You can't, in this world of fast-paced, AI-driven information transformation, you can't lead from the back. You have to lead from the front. And that's what I told my board. What I've appreciated about our board, why we've had great, tremendous growth and stuff over the past 15 years since I've been here, is our board always chose to lead from the front on issues like this. And you can't be fearful and lead from the back and hang out for a year, because a year from now, it's all going to change. And now you're going to have to start over. Lead from the front and charge in cautiously, you know, calculate your charge, but don't sit down and say, we're just going to hang out. Lead from the front and dive into this stuff and learn how it can offer incredible possibilities to your members. And that's what I love about this industry.
Probes and Heat Furnace signing out.
There you go, man. Absolutely. Later.
Well said.
Thanks for having me, boys.
We hope you gained some inspiration that will help you run an efficient and effective association just like a business, and maybe laugh a little with us. If you have a topic you would like to hear us talk about, or if you just want to reach out to us for any reason, you can contact us at tom@tommorson.biz or dave@propfuel.com.
Give us a review if you haven't already, and don't forget, subscribe and share with your friends.